Good morning. You've tuned into North Idaho News of the Week here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. I'm Jack Peterson here on Friday, January 31st with Chris Bessler as usual. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jack. How's your last day of January going?
It's a little snowy.
A little snowy. It is.
Jim Healy and I were talking yesterday on these airwaves about how we had gotten through December and almost all of January without breaking out the snow shovels.
Yeah. But
it looks like we're not quite going to make it.
You're not.
I think we're gonna have some shoveling to do this evening.
Or you could just hold off on principle and not shovel till tomorrow.
Yes, we could do it. You're right. I could do that. I could wait until February just to say that I did it. We're also joined here in the studio by Sansre Mitchell, the senior writer for the Sandpoint Reader. Good morning, Sansre.
Good morning.
I will actually start off today's program with a little weather report because it's relevant. We are in not just a winter storm watch anymore. We are in a winter storm warning until 10 a.m. tomorrow. According to the National Weather Service, heavy snow is expected. Total snow accumulation between 4 and 9 inches in the valleys. Except 1 to 3 inches from Bonners Ferry to Port Hill. Total accumulations between 12 and 24 inches in the mountains. That covers most of the places in our broadcast region, in our broadcast area. Travel could be very difficult today. The conditions could impact the Friday morning and evening commutes. If you must travel, the National Weather Service asks you to keep an extra flashlight, food, and water in your vehicle in case of an emergency. For the latest road information in Idaho, you can call 511. There is also an avalanche watch in effect. The Idaho Panhandle Avalanche Center in Sandpoint, which brings us avalanche reports every morning at 7 o'clock. And you should tune in if you're the type of person who's likely to be in an avalanche area. But the following message is transmitted at the request of the Idaho Panhandle Avalanche Center. And there is a backcountry avalanche watch in Bonner County and Boundary County from 6 a.m. this morning to tomorrow at 6 a.m. Very dangerous avalanche conditions are likely to develop by Saturday morning and raise the danger to high, level 4 of 5. Heavy snowfall and strong winds may be sufficient to overload very weak snow layers and cause a widespread cycle of avalanches large enough to bury, injure, or kill a person. Some of these avalanches could release naturally, and it will become very easy for backcountry travelers to trigger them. Travel in or below avalanche terrain is not recommended during this period. You can go to idahopanhandleavalanche.org or just avalanche.org for more detailed information. The word is, be careful out there, especially if you're traveling. Everybody made it into the studio safe today. How was the commute? Any news from the roads? Did we see any?
Slow down.
Yeah.
Although I was mandatorily slowed down because I was right behind the snowplow.
Well, so at least they're getting out there.
15 to 18 miles an hour on the trip in.
It is slow going out there. Plan for a slightly longer commute than usual. Yeah.
But big thanks to these guys to get out at all hours and take care of our roads.
Indeed. Was this one of the city snowplows?
It's the county.
Snowplow, yeah. There's the city snowplows are nicely painted this year. They have faces on the blades that are finally getting a little use.
While you're on the weather,
yes.
You know, we're going to have a few days of snow. It's supposed to be super heavy, actually. Up at Schweitzer, they're expecting 7 to 11 inches today and then another 4 to 8 inches tonight. But by Monday, the weather, the temperatures really start dropping. And a high of 13 on Tuesday. Wednesday, here in town, they're predicting a low of 3 degrees.
Whoa. Low of 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's the coldest I've seen so far.
A low of 6 degrees on Tuesday, a low of 3 degrees on Wednesday.
Okay.
And a slight warming as next week progresses, but it by next, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, up to 13 degrees. So mm-hmm. we're in for some true winter weather here.
Right. Yeah. Sounds like fall is finally over. We're, we're into it now. Okay. Let's talk about the news a little bit. I will start with some state news from the legislature. Things are moving in Boise. The House has passed Joint Memorial 1 that passed 46 to 24, and it now goes to the Senate. If the Senate passes it, it would send a letter to the U.S. Supreme Court asking it to restore the natural, quote, to restore the natural definition of marriage, a union of one man and one woman, unquote. That's legislation sponsored by Heather Scott of Blanchard, and who formerly was our representative up here in District 1. Another bill has been introduced to allow the Idaho governor to veto successful ballot initiatives, and is getting is causing some controversy and getting quite a bit of discussion, but no vote has been taken on that yet. But it has been introduced. Out in West Bonner County, the West Bonner County School District met with staff, stakeholders, and trustees for a work session on Wednesday to look at the state funding estimates for the school district and take steps towards drafting a fiscal year 2026 budget. And they will be determined by the end of March whether to place a levy on the May 20th ballot. They are expected to place that, to place some kind of a levy on the ballot. They believe that the funds that they get from the state will not cover their existing budget, and so we shall see what happens there. They've the last three levies that have been placed by West Bonner County have failed to pass. Out in Ponderay, the United States Postal Service is moving. The post office will be moving in Ponderay from 4th Street, I think, to a new location, not too far away, less than a mile from its current location. It'll be moving into the former Horizon Credit Union and the on Bonner Mall Way there. So kind of in the Bonner Mall parking lot, there's that building that will now be the U.S. Post Office. And what else? Those are the big news items that I highlighted. Sans Souci covers the county, and the county Bonner County Commission didn't meet this week. But I was hoping that we could get you to tell us what, you know, get your opinion on what's going on at the county, and maybe a little forecast of what we can expect from them for the year 2025, or at least kind of the coming months. I guess before I ask that question, did I miss any big news stories in local news stories? I should say there's plenty of news in other areas.
State and national news
is busy. Yeah.
With the legislature in progress right now, people might want to keep an eye on what's happening down there.
Yeah. And it's of course been a big week in national news, but you can hear all about that on some of our other fine programs here on KRFY or wherever you get your news. Certainly it's been covered in the Reader as well. No county news this week because there was no meeting. But the new county administration has now been seated, and they've met a couple of times. You've been covering the county for as long as, believe it or not, I think you've been, you know, directly covering the county. It's been your beat for as long as anyone. So you have an opinion on, or a read on how things may be changing over there.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, yeah, that's the first question, big picture. Mm-hmm. The new county commissioners are in. There's two new county commissioners this year, and there were a different board than it was last year. There's a new chair, new vice chair. How are things different in Bonner County, and particularly at the Bonner County Board of Commissioners?
Yeah, so we still have chair now, Asia Williams, and then our two new commissioners are Brian Domke and Ron Korn, who is serving as vice chair at the moment. And I think, I mean, not to look ahead, but what we've seen so far, I think, is a pretty good indicator of what we're going to keep seeing. So one of the big changes that came about after former chair and commissioner Luke Ahmet's resignation was that Chair Asia Williams has put in a lot of additional safeguards, and we're seeing the new commissioners continue that. So everything now, no matter how small, is run through legal, it's run through risk assessments, everything gets checked and rechecked and triple checked, and we see the commissioners being very thorough in their regular business meetings. I mean, it seems like there's not a meeting that goes by that somebody doesn't say, oh, I just ran all these numbers on my calculator and, you know, you're off by 75 cents or something.
Mm-hmm.
Just the citizens?
No, the commissioners.
Oh, the commissioners.
Okay, yeah, citizens used to do that. Okay. And now the commissioners have taken that over. So we definitely saw that in response to requests from citizens, and they seem to be really listening to that. We've also got a lot of increased reporting on their end. There were a lot of complaints with the old administration about transparency, and that's the big word for the new commission. They say it very often. But we have, you know, different boards, different advisory committees coming in and just giving updates, saying if they have positions available, if they're looking to hire anyone. Commissioner Williams does regular legal reports about all the times the county has been sued. Mm. Thankfully, there hasn't been a lot of new stuff with that recently.
Mm-hmm.
And then looking forward, we've already seen a bit of a hint of this, but I would say that we're going to see a lot less minor land divisions being approved by the county.
Mm.
That's been a big issue in the past. Everyone is worried about Bonner County losing its rural character and, you know, getting subdivisions and breaking up historic farmland. And so we've seen Commissioner Williams in the previous administration voting against minor land divisions that don't have a really, really good reason. And since then, we've seen, I believe the last one I saw was something like a great-grandma was trying to break up her farm for her grandkids.
Mm.
And even then, they were like, nah, you should all just live together on one big property. So I think that'll continue. We also might see a change in the board's power dynamics. So currently, every time a new board is sworn in, they elect a chair and a vice chair. And when they elected Commissioner Williams, Brian Domke, our new commissioner, suggested that the chair should change regularly.
Yeah.
So that each commissioner gets an equal opportunity to lead the board and, in his words, share some of that responsibility. So,
how did Asia react to that? She is the chair, and
yeah, she didn't really say anything on the matter. Her focus was she basically said that no matter who was chair or vice chair, she wanted to continue to prioritize certain things, and one of those really is audience participation in the meetings and transparency and being able to have regular back and forth with citizens. So part of what she brought up first in response to that was that no matter who's in charge, they needed to get rid of the standing rules that had been passed by former Commissioner Luke Ahmet. And after she was reelected, they did get rid of those. So now, even though we have more safeguards as far as everything going through legal and risk assessment, we have less safeguards in that sense because the standing rules really, they dedicated certain powers to the chair presiding over the meeting, and they also made sure that everyone was behaving cordially So well,
they tried to make sure.
They tried. They tried. Yeah.
So they kind of circumscribed the when you could speak and how long you could speak, and mm-hmm. so now with those rules, you know, foregone, are there people that are kind of dominating with public comment?
Well, people are allowed to make more than one comment on a topic now, and that was sometimes allowed in the previous administration. It seems like because of all of the risk assessments and bringing public comment back on each individual item, that people don't really need to make as many angry comments as they used to, because really beforehand, there wasn't a lot of comments on the actual substance of the meeting. It was mostly being angry that they couldn't comment. Mm-hmm. But now, yeah, there are no written regulations for people's behavior, and we have seen that come out a little bit, people testing the waters and accusing commissioners of lying and using a lot of heated tones with them. But as we saw previously with the standing rules, I mean, that didn't stop. It was used in the ejection, I guess I'll say, of Rick Kramer and Dave Bowman previously. And they both sued the county and won about $500,000.
Right. So, yeah. Kind of a big hit.
Yeah, it was a bit of a big hit. So we know that even with those standing rules, there wasn't a lot of protection on that front. And people will petition their government in whatever way they see fit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In the past, about a year ago, you know, because they're all Republicans, mm-hmm. so it's not exactly partisan, but there was sort of a flavor of partisan division on the previous board. Mm-hmm. It seemed like there was an alliance of some kind between Amit and Bradshaw, and Asia Williams was oftentimes the sole vote in dissent of a lot of issues. Mm-hmm. So far, from what I've read, it's all been either it's been, for the most part, been unanimous, or it's been somebody abstains. We haven't had a lot of 2-to-1 votes, or maybe any. None come to my mind anyway. Mm-hmm. Does it look like kind of everybody's now on the same in the same political kind of faction of these three, or are there divisions or different priorities that the commissioners are likely to kind of butt heads on, do you think?
Yeah, to a certain extent, I think they are a little more aligned than the previous board. I mean, nobody has a protection order against the other one the way that Steve Bradshaw and Asia Williams had.
Mm-hmm.
But we are seeing Ron Korn step out a little more. He has been one to abstain or vote against certain measures. His politics are, I would say, more aligned with former Commissioner Amit, who was, of course, as you said, butting heads with Williams a lot. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, on a lot of big issues, they are pretty well aligned. All very conservative. We've seen now an increase in the Christian aspects, a little bit more erosion of the separation of church and state as far as you can in small county governments. But there seems to be a little bit of a camaraderie between Domke and Korn. They had a little Bible measuring contest when they were sworn in where they... let's see.
Who had the bigger Bible?
Yeah, well, it was who had the older Bible.
The older Bible, one, yeah, okay. So. More historic Bible.
Oh, yeah. I think Korn's was in his family since the 1800s, and Domke's was only fifth generation. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. yeah, so they talk a lot about Christian principles guiding them and faith. And even though we had a pastor on the last board, Steve Bradshaw, we didn't really see a lot of that religious talk coming from the board. It was mostly coming from the audience, but I think that's something that the regular meeting attendees have shown that they really, really want to see. So we are seeing that.
Hmm. The Sheriff Wheeler had his sort of retirement. He retired temporarily and mm-hmm. came back, and that was not universally popular or admired among the commissioners. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't seem like any action's been taken. As the sheriff has been at these meetings. I assume he's been in the building and working once again with the county commission pretty well. Are they butting heads or anything?
No, they're not butting heads really. No. He doesn't regularly attend meetings. He does show up to some. The issue with his retirement was really the board debating what their role was.
Yeah.
So nobody really voiced any objection to his actual temporary retirement. It was more, does the board vote on it? If they are voting to approve a temporary resignation, does that mean that they could not approve it and force them to work? And then there were allegations of, you know, is that slavery? If you can say someone can't quit their job. But that was the previous board with Steve Bradshaw and Ron Korn serving the remainder of Luke Ahmet's term. So we haven't seen any discussions of that with Brian Domke on there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably a settled issue now anyways.
Yeah, I don't think anybody is really bringing it up anymore. Yeah. If anything, it would come from Percy, who actually does the payouts.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think anybody's worried about it.
The public criticism was that he's basically double dipping. He's getting his retirement pay as well as his full pay as a serving sheriff.
Yes.
So,
which, according to Deputy Prosecutor Lewis Marshall, is pretty common among law enforcement mm-hmm. in Idaho. So this was not just a one-off thing.
Mm-hmm. Percy, the public employee retirement system of Idaho. Not somebody named Percy.
Yes.
Yes.
I couldn't remember the acronym.
Yeah, I had to look it up myself. What can you tell us about Ron Korn's Bonner County Civil Defense and Resilience Team? That one, I guess, raised some eyebrows when that came up. I think Korn's first meeting of the new term. Yeah,
that is an issue that we're looking for to see if that's going to get resolved anytime soon. So essentially, initially, Korn said that he was making BCC dirt, as he calls it, mm-hmm. just as a way to educate citizens about things like the use of ham radios and proper fire safety and things like that, just things that you might need in a disaster. And so he sort of proposed this team, just kind of said, yes, I'm doing this. We're making it. It's going to be held in the county. And Asia Williams and Brian Domke sort of raised their eyebrows at that because, of course, it hadn't come to a board vote to create this. So nobody was really sure if this was just something that he could say, it exists, here it is. Or if it was something that they had to vote on, and Korn,
if it was a unit of government or just a, you know, private mm-hmm. or public group, basically, yeah.
And that came about later because initially when he proposed it, he said this is not connected to Bonner County at all. I mean, just Bonner County is in the name, but that's because the people who are running the workshops work for the county, but they're not getting paid. So he said, you know, this is not connected to government at all, and then the next meeting, he said that again and again, and then right at the end he said, well, of course it's connected to government. It wouldn't make any sense if it wasn't. There would be no point. And so then, again, Williams and Domke sort of raised their eyebrows and were like, okay, so you just contradicted yourself. So we are going to have to take it to a vote, perhaps, and you should not hold the first meeting. Of course, he did hold the first meeting. I haven't heard anything about that, so I assume it went well. I mean, they're just talking about radios. But it's unclear if it's going to come back to a board vote. They're waiting to get a legal opinion from Lewis Marshall.
Does this group have a website or Facebook page that people want to either find out more about it or if they like the idea of it, get involved with it?
It does have a Facebook page. I don't believe it has an official website outside of that. Yeah, and then I know people have been getting involved through word of mouth, mm-hmm. most of all. They emphasize that it is a family-led program. Bring the kids. One thing that raised a few red flags is that when Korn first gave a presentation on what this BCC Dirt was going to be, he gave that presentation at a people's rights meeting. People's Rights, a private organization, I suppose, of anti-government people around the nation. It's founded by Ammon Bundy. And so people were concerned about the risk to the county, legal risk of being affiliated with an anti-government group and being the government. And so there were some issues with that. Aside from having it at a people's rights meeting, they weren't really involved. And I don't know how involved they will be in future actual meetings. Currently, it's being spearheaded by Korn, by Emergency Management Director Bob Howard, by Technology Director Jacob Storms, and then Panhandle Health Department Chair Dr. Thomas Fletcher has also indicated that he would like to participate. And then they will bring in outside sources to come teach the classes. It's unclear where those are coming from.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
As we watch. I mentioned the sheriff earlier. Did the sheriff or the sheriff's department or law enforcement kind of have anything to say about this new group?
They haven't made any statements, and it doesn't appear that they're involved at all. I know that people were mostly worried about this group stepping on the toes of emergency management, but of course, since Bob Howard is involved, he seems to be cool with it.
Yeah, he's the emergency management guy for the county.
Yes, he's the director.
Do you have a forecast or kind of know what's on the agenda for, I don't know, the coming, say, quarter or the next year at the county level? Anything new kind of on the horizon for them, do you think? Or is it business as usual and back to it for the Bonner County Board of Commissioners?
I think it'll mostly be business as usual, and I say that, and I know I've jinxed it right now.
Yeah.
The only things that we know are coming up are, of course, the discussion of BCC Dirt and the change of the chair of the board.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the only things that we can see, and we'll know that they will discuss in the future. They haven't released the agenda for this upcoming meeting yet, so I can't tease any of that.
Okay.
But otherwise, it'll just be probably a lot of approving funding, a lot of discussions of land divisions and water, and probably more updates on the Albany Falls Dam, because that's always on everybody's mind. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, yeah, we're in the dark.
We're also out of time here.
We're out of time, yeah.
That happens fast. Last year, I want to say it was last year, it was mainly an effort spearheaded by Luke Ahmet to take the county property that was within city limits, have it rezoned, and make use of it in a way that... Actually, the sheriff opposed him on that. The sheriff has
his
eye on
this property near the fairgrounds.
Adjacent to the fairgrounds. The sheriff has his eye on it for a new kind of law enforcement or justice center. Mm-hmm. And at the time, the county had, or the Board of Commissioners had, kind of other ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, now we have a whole new board. Is there anything to say about that? Any news on that? Have they made any moves in any direction one way or another?
So with the previous board that was rezoned, which it took a little sliver that was sort of between the fairgrounds and the sheriff's department and just swapped its color, really, changed it. I'm not sure of the zoning anymore. It's been too long. Do you remember?
I'm going to say it's mixed use. They Well, it's owned by Bonner County.
Yes.
It's within city of Sandpoint limits. Mm-hmm. So they had to have the city. So Commissioner Ahmet, I believe, went to the city and petitioned to have it rezoned by the city.
Yes.
So that they could make use of it and I think turn it into maybe mixed use residential or.
Yeah, sort of, just to keep it in line with the rest of the fairgrounds property. And then also the other issue was that they have a road going through it that's going to a development behind the fairgrounds. And so they needed to figure out how to get them an easement or public road, whatever they needed. So they did vote on that. Everything got approved. There were some bruised egos for sure. But I'm not sure if they will ever bring that back unless they want to undo what they did. But I don't think they have a reason to. And I don't predict them.
I think the catalyst there was the idea of building an RV park.
Yes.
For which they had received a $400,000 grant.
Mm-hmm.
But the grant's been withdrawn. So
yes,
the funding for that is no longer there, at least from any outside source.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thanks for humoring me on that topic. Mm-hmm. We'll just didn't want to let it slip while it was on fresh in my mind.
We're here to humor you.
Thank you. We're over time. Anything you want to highlight in either this week's reader or coming up next for you, Sansaray?
Oh, for me.
For anything.
We always have a fun paper, so definitely check that out. Read the whole thing, cover to cover. Don't skip anything.
Word by word, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as far as things coming up, well, you'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
We haven't had our meeting yet, so I don't even know what's going to be in the
next
paper. You
have a meeting right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, everybody drive safe out there. Mm-hmm. I'm sure many of our listeners are in their cars right now. Slow down just a little bit more, even. It's it's hazardous on the roads. In that case, we'll go back to Auto's Eclectic Mix, I suppose.
Okay.
Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Sansaray.
Yeah, and thanks for listening, everybody.